here in this worn and weary land, where many a dream has died. Like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. Yeah. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts, flood our souls with one desire. Yeah. Just to know you and to make you known, we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. Just to know you and to make you known, we lift your name up high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. Take it, Tabor! So much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. Happy snowy morning.
Oh, that's artist selection right there. I think our artists were inspired to perform warm music, reggae, on a cold day. So thank you. And we will see at the end of this series of Thrive.
How many ways we can do it.
Yeah. How many ways we can perform the same song. It's amazing. I do not think we've wrapped it yet. We have not wrapped Thrive. But if anyone out there can rap, let us know. We'll set you up with the DJ turntable, and we'll wrap this thing. We'll be legit. We'll keep it real next Sunday. How's that? Hey, there's a lot of Super Bowl buzz going on around here. And the only question is anybody brave enough to say, you love Tom Brady, and you're gonna go with the Patriots. Is anybody brave enough to say that? They're going to go with Tom Brady. You love the Patriots. All right, so is that Mark? Mark, you got your hand up there, right? All right, Mark, put your cup down. Put your cup down. Stay where you're at. Okay, Mark? So, Mark, if you can catch this football, you're going for the Patriots, okay? So, all right. Oh!
How much air is
he? All right. So, Mark caught the deflated football, and it is. It is deflated. Ask him. It's deflated. It is deflated to what the Tom Brady would have thrown, so I like it. But go back and exchange that for whatever size you want, but you got a Thrive shirt because you caught the ball, the deflated ball, okay? So there you go. All right. Get rid of that deflated ball. Okay. And then, oh, into the drums. All right, so anybody here rooting for the Seahawks? Big Seahawks fan? Who's a Seahawks fan? Who's going for the Seahawks? Okay, we got little guys down here, but I need a designated catcher, someone to catch this. All right, dude in the purple shirt, go long, go back a little farther, away from people. All right, so here you go. So you catch this thing, you're getting a shirt, okay? Are you ready? All right, what's his name?
Jack.
Jack. All right, so everyone root for Jack. Give it up for Jack. All right, Jack. Oh! Oh! Epic catch. Come here, Jack. Come bring the ball. Come on. Come here. Wow. Did you see it? He caught it. He went back like 10 yards. He still held on to it. So there's your Thrive shirt. And by the way, you caught an officially inflated football right there. That's official right there. So good job. I'm not going to chuck this one at you, Will. All right? Okay? So there we go. It's going to be a great game. And people have asked me, Seahawks, Patriots. I'm just rooting for, I think someone said it this morning. I'm going to go with it. Oh, yeah. While I'm talking, please pass the friendship pads around, okay? Do that. Thank you, Chris. And give me any other cues I need. I'm just rooting for the referees. I just want the refs to make the right calls. That's who I'm going for a Super Bowl. So welcome to Shine, our contemporary service here. We're glad that you came. Hopefully before you came into the space, you grabbed a cup of coffee. And so we want you to feel comfortable here. We say this regularly because it needs to be said. If you're a guest or a visitor with us today, your presence, especially on a snowy day like this, your presence here is God's gift to us. You're a gift from God to us today. And we thank God for you being here. And we pray that as you're here, our presence is a gift from God to you. And so that's what we pray for. And so lots of exciting things going on. You have your bulletin. I'll probably tell you some events coming on this week, and we want you to get engaged with that. And just as we want you to get engaged with the mission of our church, we also want you to connect with one another, because we don't want to just be a one-hour service. We want this to be a community. And so as we transition into a time community, I invite you, get a cup of coffee. If you haven't got a cup of coffee, grab a Bible. We believe in God's word here. We like to get in God's word, so grab a Bible. And as you're standing up this time to do those things, greet one another with Christ's love. Thank you.
Sacrifice. I'll lay take this light and let it shine. Take this light and let it shine.
Thank you.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul, worship Your holy name. The sun.
Concerns on our hearts. Lord, those things that we don't even share with anyone, we share with You. Lord, we thank You for the way that You've created each one of us. So different, so unique. Different skills, different challenges, different opportunities, different settings in which to minister. And Lord, for that we're grateful. Lord, for the opportunity to come before You and lay bare all the ways in which we fall short, we're grateful. Lord, hear us now in a time of silence as we share with You what's on our heart this morning. It is such a joy to come into Your house today with this fellowship of believers and join together in unity in an agreement that You are sovereign Lord. Lord, hear our voices as we join together the prayer that Your Son Jesus taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
First of all, I'm just so thankful, so very, very thankful to God that I have somebody to talk to you this morning. So thank you for coming on a morning like this. I'll let you know that as when a pastor gets up very early in the morning and begins to see a snowfall, you begin to have some deep reservations about things. And one thing you do is you say, don't set your expectations too high. Realize that people probably will not come, and love them the same. But so thank you so much. This is just wonderful to come up and see all of you and know that you are some hardcore players, and you know what the real game is today. The real game is not this evening. As great of a game as it'll be, the real game is not 1 o'clock, Michigan State, Michigan. That's not the real game. This is the real game. So thank you for showing up and putting on your jerseys and being a player. And so this series, Thrive, if you've been with us or if you're new, this series has been taking that idea that each of us has been given a jersey. Each of us has been asked to play on God's team. That he has equipped us, each of us, to play on his team. That if you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that what comes with that confession is a filling by the Holy Spirit to give you gifts, to give you tools, that we are being asked to be equipped to glorify God and to serve others. And so there are some churches where the chasm between, well, he's the pastor or they're the ministers. And there are some churches where that chasm between the pastors and ministers is very wide from those who are like, but we're just the church members. We're just the laity. And some of you are aware of that. There's some churches that the clergy are up here and they do the ministry. And then the laity are down here and they just do whatever is assigned to them. We are working this whole month in Thrive to say that's not the case here. We don't believe that. That's not the belief here. That's not what should drive us as a church. That's not who you are. As a matter of fact, that some of us have been called to minister a calling. But just because some of us have been called to minister, that doesn't mean that not everyone is a minister. Each of you is a minister. Each of you is being expected by God, and God wants to use you, and his work can be as abundant and as fruitful through you and where you're at in life and where he wants to take you as anybody called a minister. And so what we've been doing for Thrive this month is we've been saying, look, as believers, as those who are being called by God to serve and to work and to be a part of building his church, how do we do that? And so we've been looking at spiritual gifts. And we've been talking about how when the Spirit fills you, he gives you gifts that are of his doing. And so we have a spiritual gifts questionnaire that close to 50 people in Shine this month have taken a spiritual gifts questionnaire because they've wanted to discover, they've wanted to learn possibly what are their spiritual gifts and what could that mean for them to lock into those gifts and where could that take them along this journey. And so we're going to continue to invite you. If you'd like to take that spiritual gifts questionnaire, it's as simple as texting me. You just text me your email. And once you text me your email, I just send it to you. And you can do with it whatever you want. But I believe that if you do it and you take it, I just think that the Spirit's going to work through that in wonderful ways. And the second thing we want to do this month and Thrive is we want to learn our spiritual gifts. We want to learn our personal style. Maybe we think we know our personal style, but you know, to learn our personal style, to grow an awareness of who we are, we believe is very important for us in serving and being a fully fledged and equipped follower of Jesus Christ. We're going to wrap up Thrive next week, and we're going to be talking about passion. And what is your passion, and where do you derive passion, and how biblical passion is so important. So what we're hoping to do in Thrive is take a very just instructive team approach all month long, where you're kind of constructing the servant profile that has all these aspects to it, so that by the end of the Thrive, you could say, you know what? I kind of feel like I went through like a prep class. It was like preparation. It's kind of like an orientation of welcome to the ministry. And you could say, yeah, and I did that. And I could tell you, this is like seminary stuff. Like people said, I took a spiritual gifts questionnaire. And I was like, welcome to like seminary, because that's what seminarians do. And if you do these things along the way, I mean, this is really great spiritual formation stuff. And so hopefully this month is all about you. It's equipping you. This month is not about us trying to raise money for a program or for a building addition. There's time and place for that. It's not about that. This month is not about trying to talk you all into serving a specific program that we're trying to launch. It's not about that. It is you. It's centered on you, for you, that God will use it, and you will grow, and you will go and follow the Spirit and will be unleashed to do great and new things in your life. Here's the big question today. How are you energized? How are you energized? What energizes you? Take a moment and think about that. What energizes you? Because that's a big question. That's a basic premise for understanding your personal style, how you're energized. And that's important to who we are as people. It's kind of like this. Putting it in today's Super Bowl terms, couching it in the context of Super Bowl day, I like to introduce you to two people who might possibly have two very different personal styles and who might have different answers to that question of what energizes them. I think the first person that we're going to see is possibly Coach Bill Belichick for New England Patriots. Let's listen in.
My prediction, he's on to Cincinnati.
The team's been so successful for so long. How difficult is it to react to the adversity of Monday night to get back on track so quickly? Because from a condition standpoint, this team, this organization hasn't had these sort of issues in the past.
Well, we're on to Cincinnati.
Bill, do you think, you mentioned Tom's age at the draft.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Well, do you think having a 37-year-old...
We're on to Cincinnati. It's nothing about the past, nothing about the future. It's right now we're preparing for Cincinnati.
Okay, that's Coach Bill Belichick. He said, shortly put, we're on to Cincinnati. We're getting ready for Cincinnati. We're going to Cincinnati. It's his style. Maybe a coach of different style might be Coach Pete Carroll. Let's take a look.
Tony.
All right, Coach. Good to see you today. As much as you embrace the whole media opportunity throughout the week, how much more will you embrace practice today and getting back to the basics of it?
Yeah, this is finally the day we get into the week routine practice-wise. So there's still a lot that goes on just getting to the practice field today. But once we're there, we're in pretty good shape, and it should feel very comfortable for the team. Hi. What's up?
Okay, that's just a very short glimpse. I mean, he's pointing to a reporter, he says, Bill, he points to the next guy, goes, what's up? In case you didn't know, Bill Belichick, the media drains him. I mean, it just drains the guy. Bill Belichick only speaks to media because he has to. Basically be fined by the NFL if he didn't. So he goes to the media reports because he has to. And anybody who knows Bill Belichick will tell you, Bill hates interviews, he hates the press, he hates distractions. He doesn't like unexpected questions. That's just not his style. That type of setting just drains him. Pete Carroll, on the other hand, people will tell you, the guy just gets energy from the press. He just gets energy from people. So anytime that Pete Carroll can be with a group of people, it's just charging him. I mean, he is just, his battery is just getting charged up from that. So these personal styles, one versus the other, very different people. What's your personal style? What energizes you? Because this is very important for us to help put together your servant profile. Your personal style is going to complement your spiritual gifts. Your personal style is going to complement your passion. So it's very important for you to realize it. Each of us has preferences. We make choices when relating to others. And because we do this, we're more comfortable in some situations than we are others. We're more comfortable with some people than we are with others. And a lot of times, those relational choices that we are making in everyday situations is telling us a lot about our personal style. This past year, we had a global leadership summit in here. Did anybody attend that? It was here. It was in this room. And we had close to 300 people in here for a global leadership summit. It was on 2 days of leadership training, trying to help you understand who you are as a leader, trying to give you tools to equip you to be a better leader. And one of the things that the leadership summit did was they locked in on this lady named Susan Cain. Maybe some of you have heard of her. Susan Cain does a TED Talk. She's on YouTube. And her thing is called The Power of an Introvert. And any introverts out here? Because Susan Cain was talking about being an introvert. And she was talking, her talk at The Power of an Introvert was how many people are introverts, but yet they get pushed over. They're an introvert. They don't want to say they are because we live in a world of extroverts. And so she was talking about this. And she was talking about how important it is, if you're an introvert, to know that. And she's amazed that being an adult, how many adults don't truly know they're an introvert, but they are. They're introverts. And she's encouraging people to say, it's okay to be an introvert. It's okay. She's encouraging people to embrace that personal style. She's encouraging them to know who they are. And then she's also directing them in how to be an introvert and how to use that. And so for her and for leadership development, personal style is a big, big issue. When you talk to corporate America anymore, corporate America is saying, you know what, we train our employees to death. I mean, we train and train and train. But you talked a lot of corporate America today, and corporate America is saying, we need our employees to grow, to have greater EI, emotional intelligence. Companies now are saying that that if they can get their employees to have greater amounts and knowledge of emotional intelligence, that really means who they are, that company will thrive, that company will grow, that company will be healthier. So a lot of companies are starting to take their people aside, and they're starting to say, you're a great salesperson, you're a great director, you're a great this, but you need to work on your emotional intelligence. You need to kind of know who you are, because you're relating to these people this way, and you probably shouldn't relate to them this way, and then you're relating to these people this way, and so they're really trying to help people to know this. It's very important that we have an awareness of who we are. Her name is Martha, and this is how Martha works. Martha has learned in life that she needs to get to meetings 15 minutes early. And so Martha is always at meetings 15 minutes early. If you talk to Martha, she'll tell you she's at meetings 15 minutes early because when she gets there, she's able to talk to people as they come in. She connects with them as they come in. She finds out things about their life and about the workplace before they come in. And so that when that meeting starts at 10:30, Martha feels connected. She feels connected to the people in that boardroom. And so that 10:30, when the meeting starts and they're supposed to start carrying out that agenda, Martha will tell you she's engaged. She's ready to go. She cares. That's her style. But if she got to the board meeting at 10:30, she'll tell you she's off her game. She can't get connected. She can't get engaged. And it just does not work for her. So she's got to be 15 minutes early. There's Jackie. Jackie likes to come into the church every week. She comes in on Wednesday. And Jackie likes to come into the church. She likes to do a specific administrative task. It's usually about an hour and a half to 2 hours. She likes to come in. She likes to do a task. And she likes to leave. And it's best for her if she can come into the church, like she has her little route. And she takes her little route, and if she can take her secret little passage and not have anybody talk to her on the way in, and if she can get straight to her car on the way out, she loves it. That works for her. That, for her, gives her energy. Martha derives energy from people. Jackie derives her energy, her sense of accomplishment, by getting the task done. Jackie thrives in a cubicle. Jackie loves a cubicle. Martha would die in a cubicle. She would die in a cubicle. These are all personal styles. You and I are a lot like, simply put, we're like a battery. Some things we're connected to are going to charge us up. Other things that we're connected to are going to drain us. And so this idea about your personal style, what energizes you, how are you energized, is very important when you think of it in spiritual terms. Spiritually speaking, in your personal style, what if you could serve God in ways that reflect your personal style? What if you could find ministry opportunities that actually required someone of your personal style? Spiritually speaking, our personal style in ministry matters, and it is important that they are compatible. That's the first thing we want to talk about today in your personal style and speaking in ministry sense. Let me ask you another practical question that's going to help you with your personal style. How are you organized? How are you organized? Now, the people who laugh, I've already got a good read on them, because they're probably like, how am I organized? I'm not organized. I'm the farthest thing from organized. Some of you will be like, that's like the craziest question you could ask. And so we know who we are when we're asked that. But how are you organized is a lot about your personal style. Some people, they have to have each step of the trip planned. Do you guys remember AAA when you could get triptychs from AAA? I know some of you, this is going to blow you away. Who remembers AAA? And you could call AAA and you could tell them you're going from point A to point B. This is crazy. Do they still do it? I don't know. But they would put together a triptych. It's a full-colored brochure, kind of like handy thing you can use. And I mean, tons of money. You know, it costs them like gobs of money to put together. And they put together this little trip planner for you. And it's every step of the way, a triptych. Well, you know, he was a great guy, but I think my father-in-law just like loved triptychs, you know. And so every time before a trip, triptychs, you know, and go to AAA and pick it up. Some of you are like that. You just have to have each step of the trip planned. Others of us, we are just like, I don't have time for that. I barely can get in the car. I throw the bag in the, you know, how many of us just throw the bags in the car and we're like, okay, where are we going? Oh, we're going to Cleveland. Okay, how are we going to get there? I don't know. We'll figure it out, you know? And some of you just like throw your stuff in and you just like to figure it out as you go. It's personal style. It's 2 days out from a major conference and Bill's assistant, she says to him, she says, you know, what are you going to be speaking on? It's 2 days away. He's got to fly out. And Bill says, I'll take along some options and I'll decide when I get there. That's Bill's personal style. Some of you might not be like Bill. Some of you might need to have every hour of the week structured. You might need to be like John Wesley, our founder of Methodism, who had every hour of his week structured because he felt that was, you know, good and that worked for him. There are others of you who you believe that every hour of the week doesn't have to be structured, that unexpected things arise. It's okay to have surprises. And when those things happen, that's where the real work is done. The real work is done in the interruptions. The real work is done when the unexpected things do come. Jesus had a personal style for working. He awoke early in the morning. We know this. This is commonly referred to. Jesus, we know, got a better head start on the day when he started off before anybody else. And it is common, as you read scripture, Jesus would go to a solitary place. And a lot of times he wouldn't tell anybody where he was going. He didn't want to be found. And he would go away and he would pray. And that was Jesus' personal style, how he started off his day. The personal style I'm talking about actually is, it's a metric. It's actually, there is a continuum. There actually is a very short survey you can take on your personal style. It's only 14 questions. It asks, how are you energized? 7 questions. How are you organized? 7 questions. Gives you results, you can look at it, it grows your awareness of who you are, maybe who you've become in life, we change, and it's a wonderful thing. Yale will throw it up there because he has it, my cell phone. And if you would like your short personal style assessment, because you're trying to put together your whole servant profile this month, if you'd like to get your spiritual gifts assessment, if you'd like to get your personal style assessment, all you have to do is email me at that number, and I'll send them to you. And you can start to put this together. And may the Lord bless you as you do. Scripturally speaking, what is all this? Have you noticed we have four Gospels? And have you ever read through all four Gospels? Have you ever started with Matthew? And you read Matthew, and you're glad that you read Matthew. And then I remember doing this in college, and I read Matthew, and it was great. And then I went into Mark, and then I started thinking, well, hold on. Mark copied some of the things that Matthew said. And then I started getting a little upset at Mark, because I thought, well, Mark's a plagiarist. I mean, Mark is plagiarizing. And in college, you can't plagiarize, right? High school, you can't plagiarize. I mean, I was a student in college going, this is plagiarism. I mean, how did he get a gospel? He should have been disciplined. This guy should be in trouble. But he's a gospel. And then you get through Mark the plagiarist, right? And now there's conversation about who came first. But anyways, you get to Luke. What happens in Luke? You're reading Luke and you're like, hold on. You copied Mark and Matthew. You're a worse plagiarist than them. And then by the time you get to John, you're like, okay, why do we need four gospels? I mean, it's great you have your spin, you have your spin. Why can't we just have one? Why do we have to have four gospels that many times are very parallel and many times tell the same thing? I think we have four gospels because there's four persons involved, each with his different personal style. Luke. Turn to Luke real quick with me. Go Luke chapter 1. It's New Testament. Sometimes we throw up the page number. Sometimes somebody gets to the page number in the student study Bible and they're so excited they get there, they shout out the number. They go 797. But if you're in the student study Bible and you see somebody around you and they're flipping through, like, and you got it, you're locked in, go like 813, you know. But fast track people, and we're going to go to Luke chapter 1. I want you to get a taste of Luke, his personal style, let's say. Chapter 1, verse 1. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also for me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Is Luke a thinker or a feeler? What do you think? Is Luke structured? Or is he an unstructured person? Now there's John. If you were to go to the Gospel of John, you'd see a different personal style at play in the book of John. In John chapter 10, John's talking to people, and he says, I am the good shepherd, talking about Jesus. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. John in chapter 11 says, Jesus wept. In John chapter 14, he said, and Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. See, John's gospel is full of feeling. John is constantly in his gospel trying to reassure people that their anxieties and their uncertainties are going to be comforted. It's going to be okay. And so John's tone and his personal style is just apparent throughout his gospel. That's why we have four different gospels, because each gospel writer has a different personal style that comes through. As you read those gospels, it then becomes apparent for you and I that we aren't much like them. our personal theology, the way that we think about God, the way that we think about others, is often formed through our personal style. Energized, oriented people will have a tendency to place a higher value on love and forgiveness, fellowship, community, and grace. That's how they tend to perceive and work through the Gospels that have been given to us. Task-oriented people, I have learned, task-oriented people have a focus on themes such as going and making disciples. That charges them when that is said. Task-oriented people love to pray. They're usually prayer warriors. They love to build God's kingdom. Those are task-oriented. Structured people pick up on biblical themes of law and judgment. They pick up on order and preparation. They click in when the word justice is mentioned. Unstructured people, there are a few of us here, tend to connect to faith by walking by faith. We like to walk by faith. Preparation's not necessary for unstructured people. They feel like they will be given the right words at the right time. They tend to heavily trust that everything's going to work out. And they usually don't tend to worry. And see, our personal style, who you are, is very important to how you can serve God and serve others. It's a complement to your spiritual gifts and passion. And all this, hopefully, will come together for you this month as we continue to work on this. You know, this whole series, Thrive, came from one song in November that we sang here. And you've heard it. But this whole series came from this sentence. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. As the ushers come forward to receive our tithes and offerings, as we prepare, join me in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for your gifts. Thank you for the gifts that you've given to us. May we be faithful in giving them back to you and to others. In your name, amen.
I took a walk one day down by the riverside. People were standing everywhere. Somebody called my name, said, "Son, give me what you have. A little or much, I don't care." Oh, he wanted everything. Yeah. Two hands, you call them your own. 2 feet to lead wherever you want me to go. Two eyes to see what you want me to know. Lord, I'm giving you everything, everything, everything. Everything, heart and soul. Now I passed a church one time where a rich man filled the plate, but he gave just a bit of what he had. An old woman that nobody saw, she didn't have much of anything, but the little she had, she gave it all. Yeah, she gave everything. Oh, so Lord, I'm giving you two hands. You can call them your own. 2 feet to lead wherever you want me to go. 2 eyes to see things you want me to know. I'm giving you everything, everything, everything. Everything, heart and soul. Yeah. Now be it little or much, what you have is gonna be enough if you can put it in his hands. Be it big or small, this love is gonna break the wall between us. Now I passed a hill one time, and a man he hung in silhouette as thunder rolled across the sky. Now that man, he bore no blame, but I still can remember his words, "Lord, not my will, but thine." Oh, he gave everything. Yeah, so I'm giving you two hands. You can call them your own, and 2 feet to lead wherever you want me to go. Two eyes to see things you want me to know. Said I'm giving you everything, 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 heart and soul. Two hands, you can call them your own, and 2 feet to lead wherever you want me to go. Two eyes to see things you want me to know. I'm gonna give him everything, 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 heart and soul. Yeah.
He did give everything. He continues to give of himself. He continues to give everything. And as he continues to do that, Jesus Christ, as he continues to give of himself, to give of everything to us, we come this morning to partake, to acknowledge, and to give him thanks for his constant self-giving unto us. And in our receiving of his self-giving to us, we'll go forward from this place promising that we'll do the same in like manner. And so at this time, those who have been asked to come forward and to perform the honor of serving communion, I'll ask if they'll come forward at this time. As you come forward to take communion at our church, we practice communion by everyone is welcome. It's a partaking of the bread, and then there's just a dipping of the bread into the cup. His body and his blood broken and shed for you. His body and his blood shed, broken and shed for you. His body and his blood broken and shed for you. And that's how we partake of communion here at our church. So at this time, we invite you to come forward and participate. So I'll ask you to stand with me as we prepare to be good stewards of that which we've received this morning. It's getting close to noon. We're going to start getting hungry soon. We're ready for lunch, aren't we, here in a little bit? But I was given this notice last week. This place was filled with the scent of chili. Did anybody notice that? If you were here last week, we had over 30 different chilies cooking in this space, which was torturous for us trying to worship here because we had to smell this great chili. And a few hundred people stayed afterwards. $1,000 was raised for missions. And it was wonderful. But there were some winners of our chili cook-off. And those winners, it'd be well for us to acknowledge them. And so I wanted you to know, third place was a tie. Now it's a Mary Feldmeyer and Tony Kotwicki. They were third place. I wish like the top three people to have their chili available for lunch right now, or they could sell it right now. That would be my idea for next year. Second place went to Eric Torrey. It's the second year in a row he's finished second. So Eric Torrey's a repeat second place. He'll let you know he lost first place by one vote, but he's okay with it. He's moved on. First place went to Jackie Keller. So Jackie Keller, first place. Okay. Listen, we're going to go forward today. We're going to have a wonderful time. You're going to fix chili, wings, all that stuff. So may your fellowship be blessed today. May your week be enjoyable. We'll see you back here Sunday. Thanks.
So I'm giving you two hands. You can do what they want. 2 feet to lead wherever you want me to go. Two eyes to see things you want me to know. Giving you everything, 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 heart and soul. Two hands, you can call them your own. 2 feet to go wherever you want me to go. Two eyes to see things you want me to know. Giving you everything, 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 heart and soul.